Okay, so last week Bob kicked off our series on prayer called Prayer Game Changer, and it's going to be a three-part series. So Bob kicked it off last week, I'm doing it this week, and David's doing it next week. But you know what? This has been on my heart for a while because I feel like we've kind of been gathering some momentum as a church, and I feel myself that I've kind of got a bit of a spring in my step, starting to have some real vision. You know, I took over the church in January, and it's kind of been a bit of a whirlwind, kind of just trying to get used to that. And I feel like just after the summer, I really started to just come over that hill and start to see ahead, actually, rather than seeing all the, how am I going to lead this thing, starting to go, actually, I'm starting to have some vision to say, this is where we're going to go as a church, and starting to feel like God's really placed things on my heart. But as we're doing that, as we're stepping forward in that and gathering that momentum, I thought, you know what? We need to be praying together as a church. We need to make sure that momentum is backed up by prayer as well. So I've really been feeling that. And actually, last week, Bob looked at the Lord's Prayer, as we just said, right? And he really just kind of spurred us on to just be praying, praying in the Spirit, but also just improving our own prayer lives. And I always love talks like that, where you just think, yeah, you know what? I need to be praying more. It's really good to feel that. But actually, what's on my heart is that we need to be moving together in prayer as a church. You know, how can Horizon Church really create a movement of prayer within our circle, within our people? And you know what? It's important because prayer is powerful. As I said, prayer is a game changer. So when I asked this morning, are you ready? Actually, what I had in mind is that, are we ready for prayer as well? You know, are we ready when we're walking through the neighborhood? Are we praying for our community? When we're with family and friends, are we praying for them? When you walk through the gates of the church, are you praying as you come in for yourself, but also praying for the church as well? Because actually, if one of us could do that, then I'm sure God will move. If five of us could do that, I'm sure God would move even more powerfully. If 10 of us could, you know, if all of us could, if we're all moving in the same direction, that's what my heart is how do we get us as a church all going, yes, we're going to pray for this together and we're going to keep on praying together. So that's what this talk's about. And the first thing I want to say is that when people pray together, things happen in incredible ways. So last Sunday was Remembrance Sunday, right? As we wore the poppies and we remembered people who've passed away in the war. And you know what? There's a story actually in our history that isn't always told, I think, as accurately as it could be. And that is that actually, if this moment in history hadn't have changed, then we might be living in very, very different times to the moment we're in right now. And that is the story of Dunkirk. And that's a story where actually people, there's historical accounts of what happened, but actually it was prayer and the power of prayer that I believed that really turned things around. And let me explain why. So, in 1940, less than 1 year into the war, Nazi Germany had just powered through Europe, and the French and Belgian armies had been really pushed back. And basically, they surrounded the British armies and what was left of the other nations' armies. And there was around 400,000, just under 400,000 British troops in a place called Dunkirk in the north of France, just across the channel from us. And basically, we were surrounded by the other army. And things looked pretty grim. Things looked pretty bleak. People really felt actually there was a darkness over this, because potentially so many people were going to be killed, but also the chances of protecting the nations in Europe and protecting the world are going slimmer in that moment. And Hitler actually spoke in that moment, as he surrounded people, of annihilating that British army, of just saying, I'm going to absolutely annihilate those people. Churchill, in one of his speeches to the Commons, estimated that 30,000 people could probably be saved if they went to evacuate them. So that was their goal, was like, you know what, a lot of people are going to die, but we need to save some. And so they decided, we're going to go and we're going to try and evacuate them. But there was somebody that had a bit of a different vision. So King George VI, the king at the time, he said, he spoke to the nation and he called for a national day of prayer. He called for a day where he said, you know what, things are looking pretty bad. Let's just do what we can and pray. And people responded. On the Sunday, the 26th of May, 1940, was the day of the National Day of Prayer. And people streamed into churches. There's pictures, the documentation of people queuing up outside churches to pray. Millions of people praying for this situation, and a whole nation just got on its hands and knees and prayed to God for deliverance. And as we often know, when lots of people pray, things started to happen. And first couple of things were maybe a bit of a coincidence. It felt like, okay, that's a bit odd. But after a while, you start to say, how many different things are happening? And this is what's happened. This is all documented. This is all historically accurate, right? The first thing that happened is, on that day of prayer, they issued a statement asking for urgent requests of anybody that had a boat of any kind of shape or form to make their way across the channel to Dunkirk to try and rescue as many people as they can. And a lot of people responded. So that one's, okay, fair enough. A lot of people responded to go and save it. But other things started to happen. Hitler, despite the fact at that point that he surrounded the British army and he's got all his tanks and his ground troops ready to go and take them out, he decided that actually instead he's going to travel south down to southern Europe and leave the job to his air force, which was very powerful. And he thought they can deal with the job and I'll go south. All of his officers advised him against this. They said, you know what, we need to focus on this. But he said, nope, I want to go south. So he went south instead. Fair enough, the Air Force can finish us off still. But then came a freak storm over the airfields where the German planes were. And it took 9 days for the evacuation, but a lot of the planes weren't able to get up into the air because of the freak storm. Around that time, the boats started to come into the Dunkirk, to the bay, to the port there. And the people, the eyewitnesses there, said that despite the storm where those airfields were, the sea was completely calm. And one person even described it as looking like glass in terms of how calm the waters were. Eventually, after the storm subsided, the planes got up into the air and went to the beaches. But by that time, there was fog all over the beaches, so they couldn't see properly and they couldn't fly properly. And then even when people were attacked, there just didn't seem to be as many casualties as expected. And there's actually one person, a chaplain in the army at the time, who had 400 men with him, and he got them to pray together for protection. And they're on the beach, and planes come along, and they're being absolutely pelted with bullets. So they all get on the floor, and then afterwards they kind of get up, waiting to see where they've been hit and waiting to see who else had been hit, only to discover that none of them had. And as he looked back, he saw the silhouette of his body where the bullets had gone around him. You know, things like this happen. And in the end, it's documented that 338,000, just over 338,000 British troops were saved that day and evacuated back to Britain, and 140,000 of other nationalities as well. So the nation prayed and God moved in an incredible way. You know, what's really funny is you look back and some, you know, some accounts mention the day of prayer and some don't. And they say, you know what, the Brits were really lucky in this situation because there was a storm and then there was this and then there was that and then there was this and then there was that. And we just go, you know what? There was a national day of prayer on the start of that evacuation and then all of those things happened. So God moves in incredible ways, and that was the beginning of the war, that evacuation. Then 4 years later, and many of those troops that had been evacuated came back for D-Day to finish the job, and we're now in very different times to what we might have been if that wasn't the case. So that's the first point, that prayer changes things. And actually, I wanted to share that story because so often in life we forget, right? I've had this before so many times in my life where I pray about something and God answers it. Sometimes in those ways where you go, that must have been God because it was really, really odd. And then within a week, sometimes another problem will come up that's maybe even less than the other problem, and I'll still start to doubt God and be like, maybe God didn't move, you know? And you have to remind yourself of how God moves in your life. That's why it's good to be praising God like we were earlier, to remind ourselves of God's goodness. But there's a passage I want to focus on today that talks about prayer in two different ways, and it's Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. So if you want to look that up on your phones or Bibles, please do feel free to, but it's going to be up on the screen as well. And this is what it says. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And there's two things I see in these verses about prayer, two things that it teaches us. The first one is movement, and the second one is presence. So that first little section about about binding on earth and bounding in heaven, that's the movement. And the second bit about God being with us is the presence. And let me explain those two a little bit. The first one, movement, is, you know that expression where people say, I'm going to move heaven and earth to be there? So, you know, if you have an important job interview or maybe a hot date or something, you might say, I'm going to move heaven and earth to be there. I'll cancel whatever meetings I have. I'll cancel whatever I do. I'll make sure that I'm there. And actually, sometimes in our prayer lives, we need to have that attitude that we're going to move heaven and earth. We're going to prioritize prayer. And the things that we can learn from that movement is, first of all, that when we pray, there are shifts that happen, whether we can see it or not. Prayer makes a difference. So, you know, it talks about heaven and earth there. And what I kind of imagine is like, imagine there's all these ropes coming down from the ceiling and everything below the ceiling is earth, but everything above the roof is heaven. And we can't see what's up there, but we're kind of pulling the ropes and you're like, oh, if I do that, you know, it starts raining. And if I do that, the lights turn off. But what about this one? I've been pulling this one for a while and it doesn't really do anything. And actually, sometimes we only pray when we see the shifts that happen around us. And we forget that actually there's stuff that's happening in the heavenly realm, stuff that's happening in our spirits, that actually God's moving things and changing things. So that's one. But also, when we pray in this way, it kind of helps us to trust that prayer means movement. And when we trust that prayer means movement, it changes, first of all, our perspective, because like I said, we can see everything down here and we can't see everything that God's doing. And that picture's going to come up now. Here's a drawing of a guy that's looking pretty sad right now. Take a look at him. He's not having a good day, is he? But if you turn the picture upside down, can we go to the next slide? You get a happy guy. Look at that. I love these things. So just by turning the picture upside down, you see a happy guy. And sometimes actually, our perspective on earth, we see things through a negative lens. You know, maybe we see that that opportunity didn't happen or that prayer wasn't answered, but actually God's working in different ways that we can't see. And what I'm not saying is, I'm not sponsored by Disney here, I'm not saying everything that bad that happens is all good and God's good, because, you know, there's bad things that happen as well. But actually, if you go to the next slide, you can see both of them as well, just to compare, to make sure that I'm telling the truth. You know, it changes our perspective on life, because we start to trust that even though we might not see it, even though we might see the negative things, that God is moving powerfully and positively in other areas of our lives as well. The other thing is that we start to see prayer as furthering our relationship with God. And sometimes you have these talks about prayer and it just makes you feel like it's almost saying, pray more, pray more, pray more. And you end up just feeling kind of guilty, and maybe you try for a week to pray more and it doesn't really work out. And then you go back to old habits as well. And the question I want to ask is, do you see prayer as a ritual you have to upkeep or a relationship you need to invest in? Because if we're looking at prayer as being movement and movement of the spirit, then actually it's not so much a ritual, just something that we have to follow because we're Christians and that's what we should do and we have to be good Christians. Actually, it's investing in our relationship with God, and it's changing those things as well. So we're actually investing in something every time we pray, and therefore no prayer is wasted. You know, it's not like you can sit there and pray about something and think, well, that didn't happen in the end, so that's wasted, because there's shifts happening constantly. God's working in our lives. God's working in the lives of other people as well. And so we have to have that mentality and that mindset to trust in all of that happening. So that's movement. We need to pray like there's movement. The other one is presence. And I always find this verse a bit strange, because it says, where two or more are gathered, there I am with them. And we think, well, actually, God's with us anyway, even if we're on our own, right? That's what we're taught. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. So we know that God is present with us. But I think what it's saying is that there is strength in numbers. And actually, you notice that kind of difference. Can I just, I don't want to embarrass you guys, but we're Pentecostal, right? We like to clap. All I'm going to ask you to do is just clap once. So Richard, can you be number one? Can you be number two? And can you be number three? And I'm going to ask you to clap first on your own. Now, can you two clap together? One and two together? Now, three together? Suddenly, you notice the difference between the clap of one person and the clap of two suddenly gets a bit louder, the clap of three, and if we all do one together, ready? It's a bit disjointed, but we got the idea, right? When we pray together, suddenly there's a lot more presence. And I don't know if you know that sometimes in life, when you just become a little bit internalized, or maybe you spend a lot of time on your own one week, you're working at home, whatever it is, and you start to see your mood and your faith start to dip. And then when you meet with other people and you pray with them, suddenly it just lifts back up again, right? When we pray together, there is more presence. And those are the two important things, movement and presence. So movement, we pray together so that there's movement, but actually no prayer is wasted, because there's shifts that's taking place, whether we can see them or not. And presence, that actually there is power in praying together in the presence of God being with us. But it's not just about, can we go back a slide, please, Ola? It's not just about praying for the same thing. It's also about moving in the same direction. And moving in the same direction is very, very important, as we see multiple times in the Bible. But one I want to focus on right now is, you know what, Dunkirk wasn't the first time that God helped people to flee across the sea. from someone that was chasing them, because we all know the story of Exodus, right? When the people of God have to leave Egypt and go across the sea, and Moses comes with his staff and God tells him to put it down and the sea parts and they go across. You know what? Moving in the same direction at that moment in time was extremely important, because if you're not moving in the right direction, you're heading back towards the enemy, right? So moving the directions in the same direction is important there, but there's not much incentive to not do it. What happens actually when there's not as much direction? And that's what we see a few chapters later in Exodus, when Moses goes up the mountain to speak to God and God gives him the Ten Commandments. And during that moment, Moses has one of those kind of, I can't leave you alone for 5 minutes moments that any parent or dog owner or pretty much anyone's had any responsibility will know. And one of the experiences that jumped out at me as one of my first experiences in this was when I was in my early 20s, and I was living in a estate in West London in a block of flats, and I was part of a mission team there. So we had like a mission team flat that we all shared together. And there was two girls in our flat that I think they decided, because we lived in a block of flats, they wanted to have some more kind of vegetation and stuff. So on their balcony, they got one of those grow bags and started growing vegetables on our balcony, which was great. I didn't really pay too much attention to them, just let them get on with it. Anyway, my friend came to my house with his new dog, Lexi, which was an adorable dog. And anyway, she came along and we left her in the living room just to make a cup of tea so that we could have a chat. And when I came back, I realized I'd left the balcony door just open a tiny bit. And it was like a war zone. I mean, talking about war earlier, it was a war zone. There was piece of plant all over the place. There was earth everywhere, all over the living room. It was one of those ones where I started to expect, like, in a few months' time, I'm going to open a DVD case and earth's just going to start falling out and we're never going to get rid of it. So I had to do a lot of asking for forgiveness from my flatmates at that moment. But at least one of them has, because they're coming to speak with their husband at the end of January at Horizon. So they've obviously forgiven me in some way. But the thing is that with Moses, he went up the mountain, he came back down, and all the people had basically gone, well, Moses isn't here, is he going to come back, is he not? And so they decided to take off all their gold jewelry and to basically burn it and make a idol out of it, a kind of golden calf. And not only were they worshipping it, but they kind of said they indulged in revelry. So I think they were drinking and doing all sorts of things. They're not even worshipping it properly. But you know what? It was one of those moments where actually they moved in the same direction when they were fleeing from Pharaoh. But as soon as they were left to their own devices and there was no direction given, suddenly they found themselves doing all sorts of things. So we need direction. So we know that God moves in powerful ways when we pray together. But we also know the importance of moving together and moving in the right direction. So how do we do that as a church? And I've got three things that I want us to focus on today and how we're going to move together in prayer. The first one is get in rhythm. And you know, the question is, how do we make sure we're praying together, but not just praying for the same thing, but moving in that same direction? And there's an example of that in, you know, the walls of Jericho, Joshua chapter 6, when the people of God says to them, you're going to go take Jericho, but there's all these walls there. And rather than going and trying to break the walls down or whatever, they decide instead to go march around the walls of Jericho. And for 7 days, every single day, they go out and they march around the walls of Jericho. So the whole people are moving in the same direction around those walls. But it's not just movement, it's also presence, because they had to carry with them the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant was the thing that had the stones with the Ten Commandments on it, but it was also where God said that his presence was. So they're not just moving in the same direction around the walls of Jericho, they're also carrying God's presence with them. Like I said before, movement and presence. And so I want us to apply that to ourselves, actually. And when I talk about getting rhythm, what I mean is that we as a church need to not just be having that presence of praying together for the same thing, but also doing that moving in the same direction. And I'll show you a little bit different. I'm sorry, there's going to be some more clapping here. But it says, when two or three are gathered, there's power in prayer. And this is what I think we've been guilty of praying like as a church, right? So I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. Any number, just choose one now. Think of a number, keep it in your head, all right? And I'm going to count from 1 to 10. And when I say your number, I just want you to clap for me, okay? You ready? Everyone ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't even know what I'm doing with my hands. 9, 10. Okay, it's all right. You know, there's some numbers that didn't get a clap, some numbers that got quite a lot of claps. And some people felt a bit awkward when it was their own one. It was a bit disjointed, right? But how I think God wants us to pray as a church is to be in rhythm with each other. And so what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to count to 10 again, but I'm going to ask us to clap on the odd numbers. So to clap on 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 together. Can we do that? Right, you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? And now we're going to do it even faster, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Veronica got the idea. One more time, nice and fast. Go on, Veronica, lead us off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you see, in that small amount of difference, suddenly there's this togetherness, and they're going to carry on as well. They're going to keep on going. They're going to drown me out. But that's how you get the people moving, right? Actually, before it's like, who wants to pray for this? Okay, we'll pray. Okay, that person will pray. This person feels more confident. But actually, when we all start doing it together, we all get on board. And what we need to do as a church is we need to set a rhythm that we are going to pray as a church. It's going to be ingrained in us. We're going to keep on praying. And what I see that is like the heartbeat of the church. So when we're clapping there, it's consistent. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on praying. But it also brings everybody together as well. And what we're going to do as a church to make sure that happens is that we're going to set the tempo, right? So when I say we're going to be in a rhythm of prayer, I mean, we've got these prayer themes in the Horizon News thing. You know, the thing about breaking ground at the moment. When those things come up, we need to be praying for that together. You need to be engaging with that when you see that in the Horizon News. You know, we've got our Spirit and Prayer Night. We come along and we pray for that. But also, when we're together on a Sunday, we're going to make sure that we're praying. You know, I've got people up today to do the praise. I've got people up today to pray, to make sure that we're taking action, that we're ready to go ahead and get in rhythm with the heartbeat of prayer that we're setting as a church. So let's make sure that we're doing that. The second thing is to step out. And you know what? I think just observing church in this country and in the West at the moment, I just look around and I feel like people are so comfortable with being comfortable. It's almost become a thing, like it's my right to be comfortable. It's my right not to have my boundaries crossed. And there's been some good stuff of that, actually, because I think in the church in the past, we've been kind of too loyal and just we keep going and we keep serving. And actually, the heart was lost in some ways. But now we've almost gone too far the other way and people are just settling for comfort. And so I often feel the state of the church at the moment, in this moment in time, is that people go where they're comfortable rather than where they're challenged. And you know what? If I was going to go to the gym to get ripped, obviously I don't need to. We all know that, right? If I was going to go to the gym to get ripped and sign up and get a membership, if I got there and I started to break out in a sweat and I was like, oh my goodness, my body is leaking water. Like, you know what a sweat is, right? When you go to the gym, you're going to work out, you're going to get a bit sweaty. If I went there and my temperature started rising, I suddenly thought I had a fever and started calling 999, you know, I'd look a bit silly, right? If my heartbeat started increasing and I started feeling like I had palpitations and needed to call first aid, I'd probably look a bit silly when they realized I'd just been running on the treadmill for 1 minute. So when we have these moments, actually, sometimes we're not willing to kind of break out in a sweat. We're not willing to actually see God moved and be stretched and to grow. And what I want to say is that we're saying that we want to grow, but we're not willing to break out in a sweat. And we start to panic when we do. And we start to panic when our heartbeat starts to rise. We start to panic when things start to challenge us. But we're not going to see growth if we're not prepared to step out. We're not going to see growth if we're not prepared to be challenged. And we're not going to see growth if we're not prepared to be stretched as well. And this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. I've not already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know what? That doesn't sound to me like comfortable. That sounds to me more like someone at the gym, someone pressing themselves, someone pushing themselves to the limit. And I think that's what we need to do as a church. So if we're upping the tempo in prayer and we need to get in rhythm, we also need to make sure that we're ready to step out, to push ourselves, and not just come here expecting an easy rise. And that's what I was saying about coming in and praying as we're coming in, saying, actually, God, how do you want me to step out today? How do you want me to get in rhythm with the prayer of this church and the heartbeat of this church? I want you to just ask yourself, what does stepping out in prayer look like for you right now? And it might be, you know, we're all at different points, right? It might be that actually stepping out in prayer could be just asking someone to pray for something that you're struggling with. Maybe you've never really asked anybody to pray for you, or pray for someone that you love, and you're actually, that's your stepping out, is saying, you know what, I'm going to go to someone today. I'm going to ask them to pray for me. Maybe it's actually saying, you know what, I'm going to fill out one of these prayer cards and ask the church to pray for me. Maybe you've never done that before, and that's just stepping out. Maybe it's saying, you know what, when we stand people like at the prayer points there, and everyone stands up and they ask us to go pray, maybe I'm going to go pray as well. Maybe it's in a life group or it's somewhere else where you're going to open your mouth and start praying. Maybe it's God giving you a word for somebody and you're going to step out and do it. But unless we're stepping out and challenging ourselves, we're not going to grow as a church. So I encourage you just to think of that right now. And maybe if something's on your mind of something that you need to do, maybe just picture yourself stepping out and taking that step of faith as well. And how we're going to do that as a church is we're going to encourage that. You know, we're going to be encouraging people to step out on Sundays, in the week as well. It's been amazing to see how people have stepped out with Alpha, actually, because we've been running Alpha on the Monday, and plenty of people from the church have been coming along to help with that. And it's just, you know, the way it is just sitting around a table having a conversation with people, and then someone asks a question, and different people have to jump in. And I love it when it's more natural, when rather than, like, the person that's hosting that table is having to answer all the questions, but actually everyone just joins in and it becomes a conversation rather than like a dialogue, you know, where it's just, well, not really dialogue, but I guess just like a back and forth between one person and the other. It becomes the whole table involved. So encourage just to step out, and we're going to be doing that as a church. So the first thing is get in rhythm. The second one, step out. And the third one is yes, you. And what I mean by that is I had a bit of a negative experience of that in school. You wouldn't believe this, but I used to get into trouble sometimes at school, right? I never actually did anything wrong. I just got in trouble. But you know, you had that moment sometimes when you're messing around at the back of class, and then suddenly the teacher would say, right, get out. And you'd have that moment where you're going like, that's not, like, you didn't see me do that. It's not me. That's probably someone else. You look around and he goes, yes, you. And you go, oh no. And you just, you know, you're like a dog with a tail between your legs. You start to walk out. I don't know why it was a big thing being thrown out of the room. It's not really a big deal. But at the time, it feels like a big deal, right? So church isn't meant to feel like that. And I think sometimes it does. And I've been through that myself, actually, where I went through a stage where I felt really anxious to go to church on a Sunday. I felt really anxious for people to ask me to pray out loud. I kind of sit there on a Sunday thinking, please don't ask me to pray out loud. And I'd be anxious to talk to people. At one point, actually, I used to turn up at, like, you know, if it was 10:30 start time, I used to turn up at like 10:30 on the dot, so I didn't have to talk to anyone, listen to the thing, get a cup of tea, drink it as quickly as I can, and then leave again. Because I just kind of felt like I didn't want to be, I didn't want to step out in that way, I guess. And I just, at the time, I was going through kind of a social anxiety thing as well. And actually, sometimes church can feel a bit like that. Like when we're saying, yes, you, it's almost like you just start to go back into your seat. But I want us as a church to be able to say, yes, you, in a positive way. Of actually, this isn't just for the people that you think in the room are kind of holy or better Christians, which isn't true. None of us are holy, right? But it's not just for those people. It's not just for the people that step out. Yes, it's you as well. Yes, it's you that can step out. Yes, it's you that God wants to get involved in prayer as well. And what that comes down to is that relationship that I talked about earlier, that actually it's not about setting a ritual of prayer. It's about investing in that relationship with God. And God's saying to you, yes, you, I'm calling you to pray. I'm calling you to grow with me. I'm calling you, and I'm going to equip you to do that. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, where it says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. So, you know, I'm a big believer that everybody who has a faith is called to live out that faith. You know, I believe that's what the Bible tells us to do. It's not just up to one or two people, but we can do that. And as a church, I want us to be a church that just, as the momentum goes, everybody finds themselves praying and getting rhythm and stepping out and getting involved, because we want to see people grow, because we know that when people grow, they grow deeper in their relationship with God. And as a result, they see fruit in their lives. And what it reminds me of is like this Mexican wave. You know, I was in Wembley Stadium once, and you see that Mexican wave around. And at first you look and you see like a couple of people trying to start a Mexican wave, and you go, oh, what a bunch of losers trying to start a Mexican wave. It's never going to work. And then a few more people do it, and you think, well, I'm not going to be the awkward person that stands up, and then no one else will stand up. And then it goes round again, and then by that time, everyone seems to be standing up. And then you think, well, I don't want to be the awkward person that's not standing up now, so I'm going to make sure I stand up as well. And then it goes round, and then it gets to the point where, like, the posh people sit that get the special seating, and they're too posh to stand up and do it. And so it kind of goes, and it gets to that point, and everyone goes, boo, and it gets to the posh people. And it goes round again, and then eventually, even the posh people stand up, and everyone goes, whoa, and suddenly you get this momentum going around the whole stadium, that even the people at the beginning that wouldn't stand up, stand up. Even the people later on that wouldn't, and by the end, everybody's doing it, and you get this momentum that's going. And that's what I would like our church to be like that. Actually, we're a church that as the momentum gets going, as people keep stepping up and stepping in, eventually you realize, you know what, I need to get involved as well. I'm going to step forward as well, because it's yes, you are called to do it too. And as a church, that is our vision, that we are committed to seeing people grow. If you're part of this church, you're not just here as a bystander. You're not just here just to listen and go home and do what I did and turn up and then get back as quick as you can, because we want to see God working in your life. We want to see the Holy Spirit planting things in you. Every single person has the potential to grow. There might be other places that you've been to that maybe misunderstood you or tried to put you into a box or tried to kind of mold you into a mold that you just didn't fit into. But actually, we want to be a place that says, you know what, whatever it is that we see in you, we want to call it out, we want to pull it out, and we want to nurture it to growth and maturity. So we want to be a church that encourages people to grow. And in that way, that's where you get that Mexican wave thing, right? So when we're looking at prayer together, it's yes, you can be involved too, and you need to take those steps in whatever way you can. And just lastly, to say on that, as I said at the beginning, I feel like I've been getting some momentum in my own life, in the vision for Horizon as a church, and God's been really speaking to me about a number of things. But firstly, we're seeing some growth at the moment, and I really believe that we're going to see growth in three ways, and this kind of fits into what I've just been saying. We're going to see growth in us, first of all. So as we press into God, as we start to realize that actually, yes, it's me as well, it's not just the other people in the room, God starts to grow things in us. And sometimes we talk about wanting to have an impact in the community, wanting to see more people. But the first step is, I believe God is going to grow things in us. The second step is, I believe God's going to grow things in our community in terms of our impact in the community. You know, me and Marina meet every week now, don't we? And we go through all the jobs that need to be done. And some of them are boring things, like you need to fix a light switch and whatever it is. But actually, it's been really good, hasn't it? Because we're starting to get some momentum and say, you know what? This is what we want to see as a church. This is where we want to have an impact. And there's this person that we can meet with and talk about how we're going to help people that are struggling with food poverty, and we can do this, and how are we going to do this group better? So I believe that God's going to see growth, that we're going to see growth in us. We're going to see growth in our impact in the community, but also we're going to see numerical growth and our growth in numbers, right? Which is something we always want to see. We want to see more people come into faith, more people worshiping God. But actually, that's not going to happen unless the first two do. We need to see growth in us first. We need to see growth and the impact in our community before we expect to see anything else. So don't jump to the end. Make sure we're in step together, in rhythm together, in every way as we're praying in that. The other thing is that as I was commissioned to lead the church at the beginning of this year, I just kind of shared what I felt God was saying to me about the year ahead, about 2023. And I shared that I believed it would be a year of shuffling, of God kind of shuffling about. And it does feel like God's given Horizon a good old shake this year, you know, and things have kind of been, there's been a few rocky patches, there's been times where people have gone, other people have come in. It feels, even people just doing different things, doing the kids' work, and other people have come in to do that. And it feels like there's been this shuffling of the pack that's happened. And I've been praying about the next year looking ahead, because that's in our name, right? Horizon. We're always looking ahead to what God's doing and what God's got on the horizon for us. And what I feel next actually is that what God's placed in my heart for 2024 is that rather than a year of shuffling, it's going to be a year of ordering and structure. And I believe that over this next year, actually, we're really going to get those kind of those beams in place, you know, those structures in place that are absolutely core to the building. You know, you put all the stuff in later, the brickwork and you paint and all the other stuff. But I believe next year is about ordering and structure as a church. But all of that stuff, all of that vision, it needs to be backed up by that prayer, by moving together in prayer. And so I'm starting to feel that momentum. I want to make sure that we're moving together in prayer in that way. So how are we going to move together in prayer? We're going to get in rhythm. So we're going to be marching around the walls of Jericho. We're going to make sure we're not just praying for things. We're carrying God's presence with us. That when we meet together and when we pray together, we start to see that kind of spiritual temperature starts to go up as well. So we're going to set the tempo. We're going to set that heartbeat of prayer. And this is always an invitation, right? Like I said, with that Mexican wave thing, you don't have to stand up, you don't have to put your hands up, but it's an invitation. Are you going to get involved as well? And the next thing is step out. So we're going to encourage you, give you opportunities to step out and pray and put it into action and not be comfortable with being comfortable. And lastly, yes, we're committed to seeing growth in every person in this church. I believe that each person can flourish. That's one of the things we've been saying regularly is we want to see everybody flourish in this church. So as this is an invitation to kind of take that, I just want us to invite us just to ask the Holy Spirit to confirm what we just heard. in our hearts as well. And so I'm just going to pray quickly to end. Lord, we might have plans, we might have vision, we might have ideas and inspiration of how to just serve you and glorify you in this place and how to function as a church. But all of it means nothing if we're not backing up by prayer. And all of it means nothing if the Holy Spirit is not completely in it and filling it. And so, God, we just invite you right now, we invite your Holy Spirit to confirm what we've just heard, to fire us up, that actually we are going to get in rhythm as a church. We're going to make sure we're stepping out and providing opportunities for people to step out. And we're going to make sure every person in the room is involved as well. And so we just commit that to you, and we ask, God, that this is a moment that we're setting down a marker and saying that this is going to be a moment that changes the way that we do things as a church. This is going to be a moment that really revitalizes the way that we pray together as a church. And so we just pray that we take that baton on and we go forward with it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.